Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna.
And I'm Stephanie.
We are a mother-daughter team from South Central Texas, bringing the professional sales training system of Eric Laufholm to the world and combining it with a Black Belt mindset. Black Belt Selling is about taking the mindset, system, and dedication that it takes to become a Black Belt in the martial arts and applying it to the profession of sales. As Black Belts in Taekwondo, we know what it takes to earn that status, and it's our mission to give you the tools, coaching, and training to become confident and successful as a Black Belt in sales. We teach that there are three ways to elevate results: the inner game, outer game, and action. And today, of course, you get all three. And I'm very, very excited about this topic we've been covering this month, because I know it's an important topic when it comes to lead generation. And as we were talking before the show, I mentioned that it was kind of selfish on my part because I really want to learn more about blogging. So, Stephanie, please introduce our guest today.
Absolutely. I'd love to. I'm excited because Niall is, we've known each other, we've been back and forth and chatting and hanging out in a mutual Facebook group for, I joined the group in September of last year, and I'm pretty sure she was there before I was, so we'll say we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary. So she's been a longtime WordPress designer and developer, and, you know, if I'm completely honest, as soon as Mom came to me and said, Stephanie, let's do blogging this month, who should we bring on as guests? There were three names that jumped into my head right away, and Niall was definitely the first of them because I see her blogs, I see her posts all the time. I know you grew up a military brat and then settled into the St. Louis Metro East region. And for those of you who are listening and going, oh, my gosh, I got to check out this girl's blog, it's blondish, blonde, as in the hairstyle, ish.net. And she covers topics on WordPress, blogging, SEO, social media, web design. I know you've been a huge contributor to WordPress, and that includes the WordCamps across the United States and helping people supporting open source projects. I know you're a proud member of proud support member and translation validator at into dialects of Spanish at Team Yoast, right?
Yes.
Okay, and then yes. She also runs, on top of all this other stuff, you know, in her spare time, instead of eating bonbons, she runs a 7,000-member Facebook group dedicated to helping WordPressers, and it's called All About WordPress. So when she's not knee-deep in coding and design, she's spending time with her son, who's also a WordPress user, and coming on wonderful radio shows like Black Belt Selling to help us educate our listeners. Niall, thank you so much for coming, and welcome to the show.
Not a problem. Thanks for inviting me.
So let's talk about SEO first. SEO is one of my favorite topics, so I'm going to kick us off with SEO. So for our listeners who might be a little bit less tech savvy, do you mind giving us kind of a low-level or, I guess, high-level definition of what is SEO and how does blogging fit into SEO?
So SEO, short, obviously, for search engine optimization. So what you're doing is you're tweaking your site or your content, the way you organize your website, your navigation, how you design your site. There's just so many different factors, including website speed, that you do in order for Google to see your site more favorably in the listing. So basically that is my most basic of basic description of search engine optimization. It is not really, it's not simple, but once you've read the basics, it's really not that complicated. Really, Google's calling for it, even if you could get the basic, if you don't have a lot of money and you want to have a bare bones website and everything else, I usually tell people just go get a Genesis website or Genesis theme from StudioPress.com, install it on top of WordPress. the theme is SEO ready already. You know, organize your website and write unique and quality content, and then share it. And so in blogging, you can see the other part of your question that blogging fits into this is your actual website is your home base and everything else. You want to really keep your meat potatoes at your home base. Your social networks are what you're going to bring in to the main course. So the blog, it basically is you're always going to bring them there. And on your blog, you're going to entice them to do things, whether comment, share, buy your stuff, sign up for your newsletter, do something. And the blog can be very powerful. It you're building content around whatever you're selling or whatever you're doing and everything. Like mine is all about what I do. And so I'm writing all these articles, and then I'm encouraging people to share and comment and subscribe and everything. And, of course, I want them to buy and everything, but most of my stuff has always eventually led to that. You know, I've always reeled people in. You know, I've been doing this for years. And although there are people more aggressive and in your face, mine has worked for me. So
very, very interesting, because we teach through the sales system, we teach that you have to build trust and rapport, which is blogging does that. It's basically a connection from the reader who's out in social media or on your email list or whatever to you providing value and content, and then leading them along to begin to purchase from you. So that, thank you for sharing that. That's a powerful, powerful thought. And especially with social media being so powerful, I use that word a lot right now, being so prominent, you know, people tend to really focus on social media and maybe are not utilizing the blog effectively to monetize what they're doing.
Well, social networking is definitely part of SEO, the social search factor, okay? So you have to really be careful in what you're putting out there on social media. I'm not talking about, like, you know, negative stuff and everything. I'm talking about what you put out there. Sometimes you put so much out there that you never reel in to your meat and potatoes of your website. And so that means that's traffic that's lost. So, like, if you have a video, post it to your website first. You know, you can post it to YouTube, okay, which is great because YouTube's, like, the second most. It's not a search engine, but it really is a search engine itself. But
right.
It is the second most popular search engine after Google.com. And so Google, of course, is going to love its own property first. Post your videos to YouTube. Oh, yeah, I get the Vimeo and Whiskey and whatever that stuff. Post it to YouTube and then post to your website with some content, then share it out so that you can get people from all those areas, whoever, not all your people are going to visit YouTube directly. They're going to get to your website. So, you know, the same concept I use with, like, SlideShare and everything, which was recently bought by LinkedIn, I'm the top 5 most viewed on SlideShare for my presentation. So,
wow.
Basically, I repodcast and combine the slides and the video together. So what I'm doing is I'm creating content on as many mediums as possible to reach the most potential audience. Okay.
Wow.
That's one of the biggest things people are not doing, and they should.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think people try too hard to work them separately, individually from each other. My blog's over here, my Facebook is here, my, you know, all this stuff. I've got all my stuff in it. It's all, it's in its own little box. and they forget the power of combining them together. Now, I want to keep us moving because I know we've got limited time today, and we've got some really good questions. Now, this is a big one for me, and I've always kind of wanted to ask it, and I've never really had the opportunity, so I'm going to ask it now. WordPress. WordPress is probably one of the most popular website builders out there. How do you, but there's, you know, of course there's websites or there's commercials for things like Wix out there too. So how do you use a WordPress site? What are the advantages of using a WordPress site? And are there any disadvantages anyone might want to be aware of?
So before getting into the advantages and disadvantages, more than 24% of existing websites online right now in 2015 are powered by WordPress. 49.something percent of the top 10,000 websites are powered by WordPress. So those
wow.
are some really powerful facts in telling you that WordPress is going somewhere. So WordPress is a content management system. This isn't just a blog system like it used to be prior to, 10 years ago. So, it's come a long way since 3.0, and we're actually 2.7. So 2.7 is when we went from just having posts to also having pages.
Mm.
So what happens is with WordPress, because you can use static content in combination with dynamic content, which is your post, you get this, you're always logging and everything else, and so you're always bringing in, being able to ping all these resources with your blog, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that'll bring you traffic for people who are interested in seeing, certain things, whatever you're marketing, or even if you're a personal blogger and everything. I know this lady, she's a raw food pet feed owner. She's also a blogger and everything else. And people love that shit. They're always looking for something more healthy to feed their dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So she does that. And then now she's gotten the marketing aspect and she's starting to make some money on doing this stuff. So with WordPress, it gives you that dynamic from being all off in your dark corner, in your little dark cave, to being out there in the world. You publish your content. It's out there. Google picks it up, and then you share it on social networks. These links can be trackable and everything back to your website, and it's just wonderful that people just can come in. They're like, oh, man, this was interesting. I'm going to go here. And no longer you're in that. It no longer feels like some dark corner off in this vast universe called the Internet,
Mm-hmm.
So WordPress's advantage is, it brings you out there in the world, okay? Yes, you could do Drupal and Joomla and everything. But it's a steeper climb because WordPress is a lot easier to learn. It's very organized. Once you install it, there's a lot of people that don't even get to go to watch videos, which there are many, many free videos out there to learn how to use WordPress. And so
mm-hmm.
you go in there, and it's clearly the navigation is there. All you got to do is surf around. You can play with it. You can always change a post. It's never set in stone, So.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The possibilities are endless. All you have to do is have an idea, and WordPress because it's both it's free, and
mm-hmm.
because it's licensing. It's copyleft, licensing, GPL. You can do anything you want with it, including repurpose it, change some of the core, and you can even sell it, too, as long as it remains the same software license. So,
wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
didn't know all that. I just knew of WordPress as a blogging site. And, and one of the things that comes up a lot when it comes to blogging is how often should someone blog? And, you know, where can they find content? I mean, you know, sometimes it feels like we're all dried up trying to come up with more things to say that can interest our audience. You know, Niall?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do get this question a lot. And an SEOer would obviously tell you every day, once a day, every day. So, but that's ideally. Unfortunately,
right.
Not everybody has that much time.
Right.
Minimally once a week. Better,
okay.
I would say, three times a week. And you can spend between 15 to 30 minutes. Remember, Google likes you to at least have 300 words in your content. So if you can find, like, pieces of news out there sometimes, you can add, occasionally do filler content. You can have one major post and then two filler contents for the week. And, you know, you could make a strategy out of it as long as you're keeping information flowing through your website. So in the three a week, you can probably rack up about maybe an hour and a half of blogging for the week at the most. That's research, typing, you know, all you need to do, you know, in your social sharing for, you know, all the effort that you need to do. And that's just minimal 300 words. So.
And that,
well, that makes it doable.
Yeah, I was going to say that, and probably doesn't even have to be all done at once. It's not like you have to sit there and find an hour and a half block. I mean, if you want to do your research one day and the writing another day, I mean, really that's, think about it this way for our listeners out there. You probably spend at least that much time on Facebook every day. So, you know, just to put it in perspective. Now, one of the questions, I know you mentioned it in your, when we were doing kind of the prep talk here, and I think I heard you mention it earlier too, but what is a roundup?
A roundup, I recently covered that on my site. A roundup it's basically a type of, blogging or a way that you can have a post that puts a list of items together. It could be a top 10 list where, you know, top 10 states that are safest to live in or, top 15 women, you know, bloggers to follow or it could be something fun and silly. A roundup is really some filler content and everything else. So it allows you to kind of connect with your readers and your followers in a way because people really love lists. They go in and you get the people who are really happy. They're like, oh, my God, I so agree. And then you get some people like, oh, yeah, I love this, but you should have had this as well. So then all of a sudden your list becomes like 20 extra or more suggestions. And then you have the people who are real hard critics and everything that, you know, just like, I don't like this list, blah, blah, blah. So you get a reaction out of it. People really engage in them. So, the filler content, but it doesn't mean that it's any less than your other content. It's just, it's content there that keeps things going that is still relevant to what you're writing about. But you're just wanting to, you know, share your opinion. And you kind of get a little more intimate sometimes. You're like, okay, this is their top 10 list. I kind of get where they're coming from. So that's roundup.
That's much easier to understand than I thought it was going to be. I'm like imagining this like a cattle herding going out and rounding up follower. I'm like, holy crap, how do you do this online? So I'm clearly making things way too
very
hard on
carefully
myself.
You know, like you gotta make it like a virtual lasso and everything, you know, like,
oh,
get
man,
over here, you
pain.
Know,
but I don't know that I could code that properly. Oh, man. All right. So, you know, we're coming up on the last 10 minutes here. We've actually gotten right into our last 10 minutes. So here's what everyone on this, on as we're doing all these, everyone wants to know what's the purpose of a blog. And we pretty much decided blogging, one of the biggest things is to generate leads. When it comes to sales, one of the biggest benefits of blogging is generating leads. So how do you capture leads with a blog?
So in capturing leads with a blog, there are several things that you could do. Not only is you have a opt-in on your sidebar, you could have an exit intent pop-up. I don't recommend it be in your face right when somebody gets to your website type of pop-up. Talking about when right before they're about to exit the website, exit the screen, a pop-up shows up to say, hey, did you like our site and everything else. That gives them time to formulate an opinion rather than like they're like, well, what the heck is this? So the other way to do this, is to make sure that your navigation is clean and clear and everything else, and that you actually have you have something in that main navigation about your product so that people could click there like, okay, I see all this stuff in the world. Yes, it is a minor one, but these are really, really important factors that, you know, in conversion that people just keep forgetting. You know, it takes at least 7 times for somebody to actually to acknowledge and act upon something when it comes to marketing. So the other thing is when you're blogging, sometimes people have a little paragraph at the end about, you know, subscribing to the newsletter, or if it's related to a product, linking to the product. Don't just talk about it, link to it. Internal linking is really important. You're not linking to other posts, your products, or whatever else. How do you expect people to get around your website and buy your stuff or even look at your stuff alone? So, you know, those are probably the biggest, factors that, you're always trying to think of something to get back to your product. Now, you don't have to do it in every post and everything else, but if you mention it somewhere, in some type of conversion, whether it's sidebar up below the post or whatever else it might be, you need to have something on your website that makes they ask people to do something. You know, it may not be all the things, but at least one thing. You know, whether it's your product or subscribing your newsletter or following you on some social network. So,
yeah, that is a really good idea. Another thought that is really important, I think, when it comes to blogging is to kind of discuss a little bit about etiquette. I mean, we probably could have spent the entire interview today on etiquette, but what would be some key things? We just have maybe about, we've got a little over 6 minutes. So just hit the highlights of what's good etiquette when it comes to blogging with images or, anything else you do, because I'm sure there's all kinds of fun stuff that people do that they shouldn't be doing out on the internet.
So basically, if it's not yours usually, especially with images, ask if you can use it. So and that's the biggest thing. Ask if you can use it. If they require credit, give credit where it's given. If they say no, don't, get your panties in a twist. Don't use it. You're going to have to just create your own sometimes. There's stock photography out there that you can buy. It's not that expensive. Yes, Getty Images makes you, give credit, but at least they have an embed feature these days for that, so you don't get ringed with a $2,000 or more, letter saying you either take it down or you're going to pay this fine, So those are the biggest things, especially with images. I mean, the
So we can't just go to Google and Google, you know, horse running into the wind and grab the first picture. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you could obviously, yeah, you could still do that, but go there and see if you can use the image. Hey, I saw this image on your website, and I don't seem to see it anywhere else. Can I use it? What's your policy on, you know, using your images? Now, unless you're like me, I give out images, and I say, well, don't even bother about giving me credit. Just use it.
Oh, you're so nice. So what about, like, written content? So if someone's got, you know, I know when I was in college, anytime you wanted to quote someone, you had to give them all sorts of credit, all this stuff. Is it proper etiquette? I know you mentioned linking, but you want to link to someone else's site inside your blog, or do you just want to give them verbal credit?
You always want to. It is a bonus when you're linking outside to somebody else's website, because it is a trust factor, okay? You're not just, like, quoting somebody just to quote somebody. And, like, who is this person? If you're linking out to them and giving them credit to where it came from, great. If they've got, like, a couple paragraphs, don't quote the whole dang thing. You know, summarize it and then quote the main parts of it, but still give their name and give them credit and everything else. That's one of the biggest things. If it's from somebody's blog post, do not repost the whole thing. Summarize it and then link out to it. There are a lot of people that try to do this auto-posting thing, and, yeah, they do, like, maybe a couple, like, you know, like an excerpt and everything else, but ideally, you want to do your own summary before linking out to somebody else. And a lot of people say, oh, no, you don't have to do that. But I've seen more people get docked for duplicate content for not writing their own summary. And so that's why whenever you have these RSS aggregator plugins in WordPress, that people are doing these things, and they're all complaining, my site got shut down, or my site, you know, being reamed with Google for duplicate content. How do I fix it? Stop having duplicate content.
So that one, you know, you'd think that'd be, and that goes back to the SEO we talked about at the very beginning. And so really, you know, I do want to encourage people, we're coming up on the last couple of minutes here, and I want to encourage people to go back and listen to this again. I know I'm going to have to, because there have been so many things. I've been trying to take notes on all these little things, and I'm going to have to go back and listen to it again because I know I've missed a few things. But
it's all
I do
on
want
my
to
website.
Now, yeah, that was exactly what I was going to say next. I was going to say, I know you've got an ebook offer, and you've got an awesome website I want to send people to again. So why don't you share that information with our listeners real quick?
So I actually do have a free ebook. It's free. All you have to do is sign up for my weekly newsletter and everything to get it. And so it gets sent to you, and it's on 10 reasons why your site isn't converting and how to fix it. So in conversion, we mean getting people to click on your links, comment on your post, share your post, subscribe, and buy your stuff. So I educate you on the basics of how to fix those things if you're having problems getting people to do those things.
Awesome.
And then my weekly newsletter is well worth it. You get one. I have one tip each week. It could be SEO, WordPress blogging, security. All whatever I talk about on my site, there could be something that you get before I start blogging on my site. So, you know.
Awesome. That's exciting. So I really do. I know Mom already went and signed up. I'm going to go and sign up after this because I don't think I've ever actually signed up. So I'm going to go. I highly recommend, guys, go check it out. Blondish, Blonde, BLONDISH. Dot, and I'm blanking, it's dot net or dot org for dot com.
It's dot net. It's BLONDISH dot net.
Dot net. Okay, so blondish.net. Go check it out. Grab the free ebook. Get signed up so you can get that content. It's phenomenal. It's worth it. Join us again next week. We are out of time, but thank you guys so much for joining us at Black Belt Selling. We are looking forward to continuing this conversation and wrapping up the blogging conversation next week, 12:30 Central Standard Time. Thanks so much, guys, and have a great week.